Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene, know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to season 3 of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. I'm your host from Down Under, Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior. And with me, as always, is your host from Florida Keys, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear friend. So good to see you and so good to hear you, like always. And it is wonderful to co-create another wonderful podcast episode in season 3. And I am so pleased and my heart is filled with gratitude and admiration for you and for the work we're doing and what we have achieved since August 18th, 2020, since we first released our first episode. Look how far we've come, and 50 countries are listening, and I have a bet which country will be next. What is your bet?
Oh, that's a good question. I have wondered about this. I have, and I'm randomly going to pick China.
Oh, you're taking the Mission Impossible because everything is censored there even more than in our Western so-called civilized world. Well, I do believe maybe it could be something like exotic as Honduras. Or maybe, I wonder, maybe Iceland. That would be
That's a good one. That's a good one. I was struggling to think of a country name not already on our list because 50 countries is so phenomenal. We're super excited to spread our listener base all over the world, and we hope that wherever you are, in whatever country you're listening to, that you just share it with your family and friends, because now we're spread out so wide, we just need to build up listeners in each of those countries. So please make sure that you show your parents or your kids or your siblings and let them know that you've found our little gem, because we're super excited to help people throughout the world.
Yes, that's so well said. And I want to make a shout out to our listeners into the Philippines, because I'm quite frequently on the phone with some customer service. And I had a lady on the phone and a gentleman on the phone in the past few weeks. And it is so amazing how sweet-hearted these people are, how friendly and professional. So shout out to my Philippine customer service angels that helped me with all kinds of struggles, technical stuff. And so I'm so appreciative of you. Please continue spreading the word. And thank you so much. Wherever you are, we send you our knowledge and the humble wisdom we gained over the 100 years combined into this world and into your ears and into your souls.
Yes, we're just delighted that you're with us, Philippines. So huge shout out to you guys. Now, one thing that Daisy has taught me to do over the almost year, it's a year since.
Well, since you and I know one another, it's much more than a year, because you and I, we met in January 2020, actually.
Yes. So over the last year and a half almost, one thing that Daisy has taught me to do is to observe more. Mm-hmm. And in doing that with my friends here in Australia, I've come up with a great topic.
So shoot it at me. Give it to me. Bring it on. I'm sitting on pins and needles, please.
If you haven't listened into us before and this is your first time, you would not know yet, but I like to pick topics and keep them secret until we press record and then throw them at Daisy, because I am very confident that she can speak about anything off the top of her head. And we have the best conversations.
Thank you.
That's how we roll on Bald and Blonde. And today we're going to talk about assumptions.
Oh, assumptions. So now I'm assuming you thought of these topics for a long time. No. So we're not going into that. There is a very rude, my personal take on language, rude way to describe assumptions here in the US. I don't know if you use that too, or if other English-speaking countries refer to that when they say, don't assume because it makes an out of you and I. I'm not using the language, I'm just saying. And actually, I believe there is a little bit of truth into it, although I would present it in a more gentle way, like verbally gentle way. But assumptions is a very destructive element in communication. Why do I say communication? Because assumptions actually happen in our head first. But then we right. take action and then we speak based on these assumptions we made.
Yes.
We're delivering prejudice. We're delivering unwarranted statements. Judgments.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fastest way to miscommunication, I have learned.
Highway.
And I'm seeing it a lot, you know, in the people around me in day-to-day life, not just here in Brisbane where I live, but I've recently been over to Perth, the other side of Australia, and observing people around the country and online as well, as we do, because we're both online so much. And yeah, I think it's a very common trait. And a lot of the time, people are not even fully aware that they're doing it, which of course is why I want to make it a topic to bring awareness to the fact Good. That it's happening so much. Because when we make assumptions, we're inputting information that isn't actually the truth. It's our perception of a situation mm-hmm. based on our own experience, maybe how we would feel or what we would do, but that is actually a huge error. Even the assumption that someone would act the same way as you or react the same way as you is an assumption in itself. And I know from my own past relationships and friendships that the minute you bring an assumption in, you create a miscommunication that can then blow up into something really hurtful for both parties. And it was all based on this assumption that isn't even the truth.
Yeah, yeah. So let me build a little bridge to a different topic that is very much related to assumptions. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Because, some call it the Pygmalion effect. You probably would pronounce it differently. I can spell it for you so you can teach me the correct pronunciation. It's P-Y-G-M-A-L-I-O-N, Pygmalion. And actually, it is about self-fulfilling prophecy, and there is a lot of literature out there and facts. How, based on assumptions, things turned south or things went bad. So we want to be very aware of it. How do we actually build our assumptions? What are they held up by? Our beliefs, our perception. Now, the perception happens through the five senses. I'm not going to the sixth and above senses because we're not doing the woo-woo. My personal take on that is a different one, but this is not the outlet where I'm going to discuss that. But let's stick with the five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we feel. That is how we perceive the world. Now we have that filter. I think it is good to say it is an evaluation filter, because whatever we perceive, we judge it as positive, negative, neutral. And then based on that, we develop our beliefs. What is a belief? A belief is the repetition of specific thinking habits that then become true and reality. And that is almost like the constitution in a country, because yeah, we always did it like that and there it's written. And then we believe in some things that may have never been true, but we can still believe in it because we repeatedly tell ourselves the same story.
Yeah.
So for example, let's go back to the animals. I can give you the assumption of a dog. My belief of the neighbor's dog. I have two neighbor dogs. They're really cute. They're schnauzers and they're so well behaved and so well trained and it's so lovely. And I'm really friends with them. So when they see me, they are all happy to see me and I'm all happy to see them. Of course, our expression of that happiness is a little bit different because I'm not behaving like them and they are not behaving like me, but we're very much enjoying each other's company. if my belief is that Max is a bad dog today, I know he's bad and I know he's mean, I will look at Max, the dog, with kind of a prejudice and an assumption. And based on that assumption I have about Max and Max's mood, it will influence my actions, my behavior towards Max, which will impact him.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the way how then Max responds to me causes me then to reinforce actually my belief. So, I knew it. He was in a bad mood. I knew Max is bad. Max is cute, by the way. So it's just an example. So assumptions. Assumptions are a highway to disappointment through miscommunication, misconceptions. And the question is, how can we stop it?
That is the million-dollar question, Daisy.
Well, you already pointed it out in the introduction and in leading up to the topic that you're observing. Now, that is the key. Now, how can we observe? When I observe with already assumptions in my head, like I have the assumption Max is in a bad mood, and then I'm observing him through that filter, Max is a bad dog, then I will perceive him as such much more likely than if I do not have that assumption. So actually, it is a question of freedom to observe without assumptions, without prejudice. And then I go right back. Behavior is all that matters. So when I become the observer, being able to taking things less personally, because I'm not the center of the universe, and not everyone is a satellite, right? So then it becomes easier to freely observe without the prejudice. And then when I see, so based on their assumption, let's say red is really cool to wear, as a lipstick, as nail polish, as a hat, as a shirt, as a dress, as high heels or as sneakers, then these people, when they see anything in red, they have a completely different response than a person who has, let's say, no emotional assumption towards the color red. Red makes me lucky. It means luck to me. Those people most likely will feel much more lucky than those who don't have the belief that red makes them lucky.
Well, see, that's an interesting part of the conversation because it does work both ways. You can have negative assumptions and you can have positive assumptions.
Exactly. So I'm not saying assumptions are bad as such. It's like a fork and a knife. It depends what you do with it.
Yeah, I actually think of assumptions as kind of like jumping the gun. Is a good cliche, you know, yeah. Like at the start of a running race and the gun fires to start it, it's like you started before the gun, right? That's where the saying jumping the gun comes from. And I think it's kind of like that because whether it's a good assumption or a bad assumption, you're kind of putting words in somebody else's mouth or actions in there, presuming that you know what they're going to do, say, or think. And that's impossible. Even if you know someone really well, like say you've been married for 50 years, you think you know them inside out, people will still surprise you. And so I kind of see assumptions as jumping the gun. And I try to be very aware of not doing that myself because of how you've taught me to observe people. And I think the hardest part for a lot of people is that to observe, you need to shut your mouth.
Yes, well, our creator or evolution, however you wish, gave us one mouth and two ears and two eyes.
Yes.
Now think about that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that maybe it's connected to talking about people react instead of taking a breath and responding. And I think it's very much along these lines where we're just too quick to react a lot of the time.
Shooting the gun.
Right. We're too quick to want to be heard, to want to get our opinion over, to want to be right. And really, that's not what it should be about. It should be about understanding. So instead of reacting, instead of jumping in with your opinion, I would just say take a breath and think about it and don't assume, but ask questions and get curious.
Now you got it. You remembered very well what you learned. Oh, wow. I'm really proud of you.
I'm a very, very good student.
Exactly. So don't make assumptions. Do not jump to conclusions. Ask questions instead more often. That's the key. So if I'm assuming, because let's say you're frowning at me, because dear listeners out there, I see Kathy on the screen while we're recording. So I see her expressions, her facial expression. Now I may assume because she's frowning, oh, maybe now something's wrong with me. So I'm never enough. And then, you know, that bitch. So now my behavior would be changing in an instant. This is an example, dear listeners and dear Kathy. So I'm concluding something based on something non-existent, but only in my head. So I'm poisoning situations without me even knowing it because it's my pattern, it's my habit to jump to conclusions and making assumptions. Now, I can just turn back to me, not in a selfish way, not in an egocentric way or egotistical way. No, me. I'm the observer. I'm observing what is the other person saying, what is the other person doing, how are they behaving.
So I also want to bring up something else in conjunction with assumptions, because I think it's kind of like feeding the beast, and that is when people overthink.
Yes.
There's some people out there that are quite analytical and I have personal relationships with, and they've admitted that they overthink things. And I think that that is like a fast track to assumptions. Would I be right in thinking that?
Are you making assumptions?
Am I? I'm observing that these people have admitted they overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, probably have overcomplicated something with their own perception.
Mm. Yes. Now, where does it stem from? Because that's the symptom. I like to go to the roots. It comes from, and let me go back to the very beginning, what I mentioned is that we perceive the world through our five senses, and it goes through the filter of relevance. We judge it the moment we perceive it. Now, what we can do, we can slow down that process. The moment when we perceive something and hold back with the instant shooting out of the gun or jumping to conclusions, making this assumption, believing it to be true, and then therefore actually justifying my behavior.
Yeah.
What I can do is that I hold back for a moment and I think about myself, okay, or I think to myself, I wonder what that means. Now that already, that little insert of timely interruption is actually a brilliant way to slow down the automatic response we're used to apply. And then rethink. Oh, and then instead of saying, okay, so she wears a red dress, although she knows I don't like red dresses and I don't like red at all, and she's doing it on purpose, maybe I can ask a question instead. I say, for example, you're wearing a red dress. What does it mean to you? Wearing a red dress. And then maybe she or he, because there are males out there wearing red dresses as well, then they may tell me, well, to me it means that I feel centered and I feel empowered in my own decision making. Wow. And then I learned something that I would have never been able to assume. You see, that's the key. So when I start questioning, not questioning within myself, but verbalizing it, hey, is there a reason? I mentioned to you that really red hurts my eyes. Let's say I'm the bull in Spain in the arena and I'm really getting upset about red, or I get really wound up by seeing red. Then I may make a statement and question, well, I wonder, do you remember I mentioned to you that red is really hurtful for me? And I wonder, have you forgotten or do you remember our conversation we had about it? Meaning that I can hold other people accountable for their behavior, but I can only do that in a gentle way when I already verbalized my own point of view prior to that. So I can take so many shortcuts to never ever jump to conclusions and never ever assume again. And look, conversations, how many people does it take to have a dialogue? At least two, right? Otherwise it would be a monologue. I'm not talking schizophrenia.
I'm laughing because I talk to myself all the time and then I answer myself, but I suppose it's still a monologue.
That's an internal dialogue. Okay, so that is me, myself, and I.
I'm not crazy, I promise.
No, we all talk to ourselves.
Yes.
We all do.
It's an old joke. I don't know if it's over there, but it's over here.
I know it's here too, but it is very natural.
You're only crazy if you answer yourself. That's the joke.
Oh, interesting. Well, we do that as well.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, okay. Cutting in. Carry on.
So it takes two to have a dialogue, or it takes more to have a dialogue. I can speak to a group of people when I do workshops, yes, or when I do group sessions or a seminar. I speak to you because now in this very moment, it's only the two of us. So it is a dialogue. Now, when I change my way of communicating and I slow down myself to not make an assumption and to not jump to conclusions, it will have an impact on our conversation, right?
Absolutely.
So therefore, I'm all about empowering people. And when we are empowered as an individual, I'm no longer the victim of other people jumping to conclusions and making assumptions, because I take my power back and I'm kind of steering the conversation in the direction so that I can clear up possible assumptions.
By asking questions?
Yes.
That's how you steer it?
Yes. And also to make statements. For example, well, if I remember correctly, I mentioned to you that red is really painful for me. It reminds me of my late mother, or it reminds me of my late grandmother, or it reminds me of blood that I've seen somewhere, sometime. There can be so many different aspects to it. So I can make that statement, because another person is only going to make assumptions about me when I'm more and more unclear. So I can help them as well to make less assumptions.
Yes. So I think that that is a good point too, because I know that, and I was like this once myself, that there are a lot of people out there that don't have the self-confidence to kind of make those statements and speak up for themselves. And so I want to encourage them to start doing that, because dialogues are a two-way street. And the less you speak, the more assumptions are going to be made about you. Well, that's my experience, that before I found my voice, I know that people made assumptions about me because I wasn't capable of expressing myself properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another story as to why. But the fact remains that when I was stuck in that space and didn't really have a voice, I look back and I can see that there were 1,000 assumptions made about me all the time, purely because I didn't know how to communicate what I thought or what I felt. So I want to encourage you out there, if you feel like you don't have a voice, you do have a voice, and it's just a matter of learning how to be confident enough to speak it out loud. And that's probably easier said than done in a lot of cases, but it is possible. I'm living proof.
Yes. And we are planning on doing workshops on communication. So watch out. We will be having those online soon available. It will take us a little bit more prep time, but communication is really key, and it is so helpful and so healthy to learn how to communicate healthily and effectively, so we can kind of reduce miscommunication in many areas, if not all areas of our lives. Nevertheless, I'd like to just get back to what I heard you say, that you did not have a voice. You did have a voice, you did not know how to voice it.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is learnable, there are specific steps and there are specific tools that you can learn the skills to utilize, and then it becomes easier and easier. And another point I would like to circle back to, if I heard you correctly, I heard you say something along the lines that people made so many assumptions about you. Well, it is out of our control how many people will make many assumptions about us. Look, you and I, we are seen in so many countries by so many people. There are millions of people knowing you and me in the online world, not knowing us personally. They make their assumptions about you and I. It's out of our control. Now, it's another step that I'm not going to be bothered, you see, because I cannot stop others from making assumptions. What I can do in the one-on-one, or when I'm in a group of people, or when it's an online workshop, or when it's a seminar, or when it is a crowd, then I can make statements and I can do a Q&A. And sometimes people ask me, oh, so I wondered why you speak so weirdly English. And I said, oh, thank you for pointing that out. Would you like to know something about my background? You see?
Yeah.
So it is not in my control. And what I cannot control, why would I focus on?
Yeah, look, this is such a big lesson, Daisy, and it was a big one for me. And I know that it will be for the millions of other people out there who are not yet comfortable with having alopecia.
Yeah.
That it can be super hurtful, but I also see that I was stuck in a victim mindset where those assumptions and those reactions and the attitudes hurt me. And I, like I said, didn't feel like I had a voice and didn't know how to sort of deflect that off me. So it was a big learning curve to realize and understand that and be okay that they can make whatever assumptions they want. That doesn't actually impact me unless I choose it to.
Well, it doesn't change you. What I do in my one-on-one sessions, I have living orchids around me. I love orchids and I do have a good thumb. I think they call it the green thumb for orchids. So orchids and I, we get along really, really well. And I do an experiment with them because we are doing video sessions. And I just turn around and I pick up one of the orchids and I say, please describe to me this orchid. Then they tell me, well, so I see this orchid and it is beautiful and it has big blooms and blossoms and it looks healthy. It is having some green leaves that look healthy and strong. It is quite tall and it has a nice pot. And then I tell them, okay, this is just an example. And I'm going to describe to you my perception of just the same orchid. And I hold the orchid so they can see it. And they see me looking at the orchid. And what I do, I really speak poorly about that orchid. I said, ah, this is just clutter and it's just collecting dust. And look, it's useless. And I don't even know why it's here. It should not have the right to exist. And the eyes of my clients, they become wide and big, and the eyebrows, you know, they just disappear on their forehead. And I said, it's just an experiment. But now let's both, you and I, let's have a look at the orchid. Did it change? And then comes the big epiphany that it did not. So that means when I have an assumption about you, or someone in your past had an assumption about you and your being visible without hair, their assumption did not change you. So when you feel impacted based on your own insecurities, that's an inside job.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So therefore, but this is another episode, I think, or maybe a handful of episodes, I'm sure you will come up with the right topic for the future. So we want to remember, assumptions are highway for misunderstandings, and ourselves can start focusing on what we can control, and we can only, in a very good case scenario, control us and stop making assumptions. And when we see other people making assumptions, we can maybe be friendly in our communication and not assume, oh yeah, well, you always assume and do with all your assumptions. No, we can go, hey, I wonder what are you basing your thoughts on? What is it that you're perceiving? Not even pointing out it is an assumption, because that's an assumption too. So that is a little bit my gentle comment to you, dear Kathy, because you said that you're observing other people making assumptions. Well, I do believe there's so much fruitful conversations about to come, because we're living in times where communication skills are shifting, because I cannot recall any time where it was more necessary and useful and healthy to learn communication skills. Stop assuming, stop jumping to conclusions, stop that gun thingy, and let's just ask questions.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And if you have not heard it yet, episode 8 is all about communication, and it's a great grounding episode. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back now, start at the beginning. You're going to love them. Everyone tells us that they're amazing, so I believe them, and we think it's amazing too. And we think that we've given some really great grounding episodes in the beginning of the Bald and Blonde podcast, season one. They're really important topics that I think base our whole mindset evolution theme based on these beginning topics. So please do go back and have a listen. You won't be sorry.
No, I do believe that anyone who steps on the path and enjoys the journey, enjoys, so being in joy while being in it, also an interesting point, enjoys the journey to be a self-developer, we'll find many treasures in each and every episode. And it comes from my heart, and I know it comes from your heart. And thank you for listening in, and we talk to you soon.
And remember that if you assume, you make an ass of you and me.
She had to say it.
I said it.
She had to say it. Okay, fine.
That's it from us today, guys. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about assumptions, and we hope that it made you stop and think.
Thank you.
And please do put these tools into practice in your own life. That's why we want to keep this reality-based and easy to implement the advice that we talk about when we discuss these topics. And as always, we've had a lot of fun talking to you today, and we will see you, hear us, in another episode next week. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and check us out at baldandblonde.life.
Yes, and please, if you enjoy that we are providing this podcast and all these episodes with all that passion that we are delivering it, and I'm certain that you can hear it, please help us out to keep these episodes ad free. We're working a lot on keeping those ad free, and we can only make that happen with your help. And there are many ways how you can contribute. You can do it on Kathy's website, and you can do it on my personal website, thedaisypup.com. You can do it on baldandblonde.live, and you can do it on Patreon. So please help us to keep this work ad free, because I do believe that this must remain ad free. This is not an assumption, that's my belief. And thank you so much for listening in.
Thanks, everybody. We will see you soon. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. If you love what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast. In our show notes, you'll find the link to our Facebook group, where you can personally connect with Daisy and Kathy, and the link to our website, where you can find all of our previous episodes and much more of goodies so you can get more value. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That really helps out the show and helps us to get some powerful feedback from you. Talk to you soon.